Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once, his fame began to spread through the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. So the homily I am about to offer is a homily I have offered previously. Some of you may remember it. For others, it may be completely new. I do not, N-O-T, do not make a practice of regularly reusing sermons. But in this instance, with this text, I study and restudy and restudy the text and find I have nothing more to add. Nothing new to say, which is kind of a rare thing. Perhaps most importantly, what I have written is still timely. It works today. Perhaps it's even timeless. See what you think. Everything was out of place. Well, not quite everything, but most things. My brother-in-law had been in ICU since Sunday, April the 4th, and now some 19 days later, I was back for a second trip. My sister and his sisters were waiting for me to arrive. I walked in to the all-too-familiar ICU. I made eye contact with the all-too-familiar staff and walked into his all-too-familiar room. Everything was familiar, and everything was out of place. My sister stood up when I walked in, and she gave me a huge hug, and she said, "Do you remember the night William, my youngest nephew, was born?" Of course I did. I was up most of the night with her doing labor, whatever that means, and it was awful, and everything seemed completely out of place. I was convinced that night my sister was going to be split into two, and there was nothing I could do, nothing, except be with her. Today, my sister said, is going to be just like that. There's nothing we can do to make this easier for him or for each other. All we can do is be here. My sister spoke with authority that April morning. But her words that morning were not scholarly words. Her words were not based in textbook knowledge and academic learning. Her words were grounded in a deep, abiding love, love much, much bigger than a woman for her husband or for her sister. Her words proclaimed, they declared, the profound love of God in this moment. When when everything felt out of place. On that April morning, my sister embodied what it means to give God's love authority in our lives, to give God's love the power to influence, shape, and control how we respond and how we engage with out-of-place things. And what strikes me most in hindsight is how, at the moment when so much was out of place, my sister put down scholarship and academics and textbooks, the things we are so quick to give authority, to pick up the profound love of God. Something was out of place for the man who cried out to Jesus in the synagogue. We translate the text as unclean spirit, and at some level in Judaism at that time, unclean meant out of place. All the cleansing rituals of that time were designed to take something or someone that was out of place and restore it, to restore them to being in place. All the cleansing rituals designed to restore relationship, to regain status in community. Interacting with someone who was unclean, who was out of place, was risky business. In fact, it was okay and often encouraged to maintain one's own cleanliness by avoiding those who were unclean. It was okay to walk on the other side of the street. It was reasonable to eject unclean people from your community. It was acceptable to banish those who were unclean into the wilderness. Getting rid of the unclean through ritual and actual expulsion was okay, especially when such expulsion ensured one's own cleanliness and guaranteed one's own place in the social systems that governed communal life in biblical times. But rather than ignoring, ejecting, or excluding the unclean man, the man for whom something was out of place, Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke to the man, speaking directly to that which was out of place. In and through his words, Jesus proclaimed connection and welcome. In and through his words, what was out of place was brought into place. And under what authority? Jesus spoke under the authority not of religious leverage, nor of government power, not of medical expertise, but under the authority of profound love. That's the new teaching in verse 27. Acting from the authority of love, proclaiming the profound love of God, speaking directly to what is out of place, addressing whatever is out of place, not from a place of judgment, but from a place of astonishing grace, not with authority granted by power, but with authority grounded in the deep and abiding love of God. Who or what? Who or what do we allow to have authority over us? What or who do we allow to influence or shape or control us? These questions, more importantly, their answers, ought to make us squirm a little bit. Many of us grant authority to scholarly language, to textbook knowledge, to academic achievement. Many of us grant authority to religious dogma and power of government and medical expertise. And when we're honest, when I'm honest, these are the things from which we speak. These are the things on which I base my decisions, through which I decide yes or no. These authorities are the things that guide how and to whom we respond. Even with this gospel text, several years ago I sat in a Bible study about this text where we spent at least 20 minutes debating the specific malady that burdened the man in the synagogue. Some in the group stood firm in religious dogma. He was possessed by a demon. Some in the group stood firm in medical speculation. He either had some sort of brain injury that caused a Tourette-like symptoms or a psychiatric disorder hidden somewhere in the depths of the DSM-4. It seemed as if understanding this passage, understanding it, would only result if we could use authority to figure out what was wrong. From consulting the sources and the sciences that we allow to influence, shape, and control us. If we could figure that part out, we could understand the entire text. But the truth is, we don't know his exact malady. We don't know his clinical diagnosis or if he even had one. We do know that something in him was out of place. And we do know that contrary to every social norm, contrary to every known authority-based way of living, Jesus engaged the man. Jesus talked to the man. Jesus spoke directly to the very thing that was out of place. And in that action, an action that could only grow from giving love authority, in that action, life was restored. In that action, what was out of place now had a place. What once was out of place now had a place. Not through academic discourse, not through medical expertise, not through long-standing religious dogma. What once was out of place now had a place because Jesus Christ proclaimed the profound love of God directly into the thing that was out of place. Into this thing that is out of place, I proclaim the profound love of God. That, friends, is healing for which many of us long. Into this thing that is out of place. Things like unexpected illness and untimely death and unforeseen loss. Out of place like pregnancy loss and infertility and stillborn births. Into this thing that is out of place, like family estrangement and church separation and doors that slam in one's face. Things like shattered hearts and emotional isolation, the grind of daily dementia, and the tight rein of depression. Into this thing that is out of place, like the story we are afraid to tell, like the family secrets way too scary to reveal, the hidden struggle with addiction to a whole range of substances, actions, and behaviors. Into the thing that is out of place, the things that cause us to experience separation, the burdens that restrain us, the yokes that weigh us down, the local, national, and global concerns that disturb our days, and haunt our sleep. And friends, it's our job as the living body of Christ in this world. It's our job to proclaim the profound love of God right into the core of these out-of-place things. Not because we can solve it, not because we can fix things, not because we even truly understand, and certainly not because of our scholarship, our dogma, or our medical science, but because this is what it means to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Our job as followers of Jesus is to proclaim love, to declare love, so that everything that is out of place will have a place, so that no one walks alone, so that each of us knows that we have a deep and abiding place, a place in the heart of God.